cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own roof because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we're back in the Snake Pit. And of course, you know who this guy is with the AEW t-shirt beside me. That is AEW superstar, WWE Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing great, bro. I've been beating that road up.
You certainly have. Man, making towns just like the old days, right?
Yeah, boy, I'm telling you.
Well, and I know that you've got a big tour of Canada coming up.
Yeah. And a big comedy tour coming up there. It's going to be awesome. I believe Ottawa's already sold out.
Yep. Yuck yucks.
Yeah, they went on sale. 5 days later, they sold out.
I think you're still over, man.
So we're going to add another show.
That's awesome. And then following that, I know that you're going to, Sudbury.
Yeah.
Sudbury in Ontario, and then You're off to the London Comic Con there in Ontario. Yeah. So, man, fans up there in the Great White North are going to have plenty of opportunities to see Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It'll be a great tour.
Well, by the way, folks, if you want updates on where Jake is going to be, you've just got to follow him on social media. Follow him at JakeSnakeDDT on Twitter, at JakeTheSnakeDDT on Instagram, and at RealJakeTheSnake on Facebook. He is always updating there. So head over there, follow him, and you'll get all the updates on where Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be next. So without any further ado, Jake, we got to get into our topic here. Last week, Medusa was kind enough to fill in for you. She did a hell of a job.
Great.
Yeah, it was fun having her on. But this week we're back to usual business, Jake. We are looking back to August of 1992 and the anniversary of when you joined WCW. So, Look, I know it's not a time that you always look back on super fondly. But
No, it's not.
And I don't blame you. We'll get into the details here. I did the research and, you know, some really unfortunate stuff happened along the way. But I must say that fans still think really highly of the incredible way that you debuted and the buildup to your match with Sting at Halloween Havoc 92. So, look, we'll tell the full story here. Let's wind the clock back a little to earlier in the year. You'd been working pretty comfortably in the WWF since 1986, and you enjoyed a ton of success there. At what point did you begin eyeing a move back to WCW?
Well, there had been some things happen. With some people that got in trouble with messing around with young boys.
The Ring Boy incident, we talked about that.
Yeah. And that has went down, and Pat Patterson had stepped down, or so I thought. Mm-hmm. I had been promised Pat Patterson's job. And so when this went down, I'm like, okay, cool. I got the job now. I can get off the road. Because I was wanting to get into the booking end of things.
Yeah.
And TV. So I was very excited about it. But talked to Vince. And Vince said that, out of respect for Pat Patterson, we're not going to fill his position.
Well, then who the hell is going to do the job?
Exactly.
So your plan at that point in hoping to fill Pat Patterson's spot was to retire from in-ring competition.
Right.
Now, did any thought in your head, you know, if that were to have worked out, any thought like, man, I'm going to miss kind of doing my thing in the ring?
Well, I was going to step it down.
Okay.
You know, just maybe work the pay-per-views or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the plan, but didn't work out that way. No, I met with Vince the night before WrestleMania, like 2:00 in the morning.
Wow.
And he he told me that they weren't going to fill that position, that things would continue to be as they are. Later on, I find out that Pat at no time stepped down. He was still there. He just wasn't being seen. He didn't come to TVs or show up at shows or anything like that. Just a big lie, you know? And so I gave my notice. I gave my notice and I was told that I had to give him a 90-day no compete. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like it, but what was I going to do, you know? So I said, fine, fuck it.
Hard to blame you for being frustrated, you know? Longevity is not a huge thing in wrestling. Certainly not back then. Guys weren't working into their 40s because you couldn't. You were taking too many bumps, hell of a lot more bumps back then. So, yeah, here you are trying to eye a position in the office to try and extend your wrestling career, and it's kind of didn't work out. I'd be frustrated too, man.
Well, I was very frustrated, very angry. I should have handled it better. Bottom line is I should have never left.
Right. When you say you should have handled it better, like, is this when you're coming to Vince, are you saying like I quit, or are you having like a man-to-man conversation with him?
Basically I quit.
Wow.
Because you lied to me again.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to work for a liar, man.
What was his reaction like when you're kind of confronting him with this the night before a huge event?
It didn't bother him.
Really?
No. No.
So he didn't try to make any effort to dissuade you?
None at all. That's another thing that hurt.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Let's paint the full picture here. You know, for 6 years, you had been a huge draw in the territory, and now you had just become a heel here in the fall of 91, and you're red hot being a heel. You just came off that thing with Savage.
Yeah.
Like, you are red hot, and now Vince is like, oh, okay, well, if you got to go, you got to. It's not real, man. Yeah, nuts.
Yeah. Didn't bother him a bit.
Now, did you have a contract that you had to be released from, or was your contract at its end?
I had to be released.
Okay. And so they offered you release. They just said you've got to wait 90 days before you do anything.
All right.
Okay. Well, I did notice here in the Observer, Meltzer speculated that the fact that you gave notice may have impacted the way that your match went at WrestleMania. Do you remember having an agent try to alter your match, or did it go exactly the way it was always planned?
They wanted to had me DDT Taker twice and cover him. Well, I did, but I just took my time doing it.
It's smart, man. It is smart because you have to protect yourself going out the door.
Fucking right, man.
And then the finish, you called that on the fly, right? With the DDT or the tombstone on the outside?
Yeah, that got a lot of heat.
So if he's going to beat you, he better beat you with his nastiest shit. The idea, right?
Yeah.
That got a lot of heat when you got backstage. Yeah. What did they say to you?
What the fuck, Jake? Fuck, I thought it was great.
It was great.
You kidding me?
Here's the thing coming out of that, too, is everybody wins. You know, he DDT or gave you the tombstone on the floor. It was devastating. And he gets the win. And then you get the win, too, because it's like, well, he kind of cheated, beat me on the outside.
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know. Why can't everybody leave happy?
Well, they don't have that.
Well, they didn't want it. So if they had pushed to have you like alter any specifics in that match, would you have, or because you're about to go out the door, are you just like, nah, I'm not doing it?
I'm fairly flexible.
Okay. Well, Jake, I have to say it's a really bold move to give your notice to this company. I mean, for perspective, you're here at WrestleMania 8, you're at the Hoosier Dome, and there are more than 62,000 people there. So it's a pretty good indicator that business is going really well in the company that you're with. Also, you know, prior to coming to the WWF, you were a well-known wrestler, but coming to the WWF made you a household name.
Yeah.
So I say all that to ask, was there hesitation at the time, even though you're frustrated?
No.
no hesitation. No hesitation at all.
I wanted to go home. It was more about me being able to be home more.
Okay.
Being that they did all their TV in Atlanta, I would have been home those nights.
Yes.
And that would have made my life a whole lot better.
And, you know, I'm sure at that point you had how many children? I know that you had seven total, right? Yeah. I think you had maybe something like five children at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, I'm sure that your wife was happy to have you back around.
Yeah.
As speaking of your wife, what did Cheryl have to say about this huge career change?
Oh, she was all for it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. She was all for it.
So just the idea of getting you closer to home was a huge win for her.
Yeah.
She wasn't as concerned with like the financial aspect of it.
No.
Okay. So going out the door, is it like hugs, handshakes, goodbyes, or you just walk out after 6 years like
just
nothing?
Just walk out like nothing, man.
Is that not even any like the guys came up to you?
No. Nope.
The guys know?
Nope.
Wow. It's, man, I have to say, it's like, you know, I said it a few seconds ago. It's like, really, it's bold. You know, you're in the biggest wrestling company on the face of the planet and you're just like, no hesitation, no problem walking out of there.
Yep.
I'm blown away, man. It's safe to assume that Vince did not thank you for your contributions.
Nope.
What a weird relationship. Like, why do you think that you had kind of a strange or maybe sometimes strained relationship with Vince?
I don't know. You know, he's been on tape saying that he's scared of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, not
physically, but my mental genius.
Ah, okay. So maybe that's really what it boils down to, is he knows he's not going to be able to kind of pull his bullshit with you. Because we always hear that he would pull people into the office when they were frustrated. And by the time they walked out of the office, they were all grinning and feeling good, even though nothing had changed. but maybe he
done
was
that
like,
a few times.
Did he do that? Did he get that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You walk out of the office kicking yourself in the ass because you bothered such a nice man. Are you fucking kidding me?
So, Jake, following WrestleMania, you're home from April until August, waiting out your non-compete. So here you are. You're going from being on the road nonstop, only a few days a month at home, and it all just comes to a screeching halt for about 4 months.
Yeah.
So what did you do with all your time?
Spent a lot of time by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things I shouldn't have been doing.
So that was actually something I was going to ask is, you know, does it escalate your drug and alcohol use or does it slow it down?
It escalated.
So is like Cheryl's present. Is she like trying to give you shit for doing it? Are you hiding it?
Yeah. She's giving me a hard time. Yeah. I try to hide it.
Man, idle hands, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have always heard from wrestlers that the whole time you're on the road, you know, you can't wait to get home. But then once you get home, all you can think about is getting back on the road. I mean, four months is a long time. Were you falling off the walls by the end of it, ready to get
Oh, yeah. Plus, I'd had the pleasure of seeing that no good fat motherfucking Bill Watts.
Yes.
He explained to me how my new contract was going to work, which wasn't anything like the one that Kip Fry and I came up with. See, that was the thing. Kip Fry had sit down with me and come up with a contract that would have left me set for life.
Yeah.
You know, it was a multi-million dollar contract. And then when Watts got there, that was the end of that shit. And Watts told me that my new contract would be $1,000 a day. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? He knew that I couldn't turn around and go back to the WWE.
Right.
So he just squeezed me.
hard to wrap your head around it, especially because he brings you in and he puts you in this really high profile position with the top star in the company. So obviously he sees value in you, but he just kind of knew he had you by the balls and took advantage.
He wanted me to come in and me just get beat flat out.
Well, like, how does that draw money with a guy?
It doesn't. It doesn't. But that's how stupid fucking Watts is.
So not only that, he
banned the snake.
Yes. So that would be following Halloween Havoc, right?
Yeah. And as soon as he did that, brother, I said, I'm out of here.
So when you heard that Watts had been hired to replace Fry, are you like immediately when you hear this, are you concerned or are you hopeful he'll honor it?
I knew I was fucked.
I know that you and Bill were never really friends by any means, but when you left Mid-South in 86, was it pretty amicable, like on a handshake?
Of course.
So why do you think he had it out for you even these years later? Well,
part of his deal with WCW was to break these contracts up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those contracts were unbelievable, man. Those guys were getting fat.
Yes.
They were getting fat, man. And his contract had to do with how much money he saved WCW.
Okay.
Now, how does he save money? Well, he gets you to renegotiate your contract for less money. Now, who's going to do that? Well, if you don't do it, what he would do is he'd threaten you with putting you on TV every week and getting beat by jobbers.
Well, rumor has it that he tried to pull that shit with Brian Pillman. Yeah. And Pillman said, hey, I don't care. I'll be the highest paid job guy you've ever had.
Yeah.
And he was. He just continued to get beat. And he was like, no problem. Yeah, I'll put him over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's – but a guy in your position, here you are coming into this new company. It's – I mean, you've got to just kind of take what they're giving you. And it's, man,
I was stuck.
I mean, let's start here. Kip Fry and the contract that he offered, you said it was great. Is it like incentive laden? Is it just like a flat
year? It's incentive laden. Oh man, I had my own 900 line. I had my own merchandise. I had everything, man.
Wow. Now, do you know if the original, I know I'm asking you to reach back, whatever, 31 years. Do you know if Kip Fry, if the plan was, hey, we're going to bring you in as a heel, put you in with Sting?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was always the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bill stuck to that. He just kind of fucked with your money.
Oh boy, did he.
You know, I've talked before about how you felt you were kind of out of options. You know, you left behind the WWF, and now here you are stuck with a contract that is not what you originally agreed upon. Was there ever a moment when you considered telling Bill to just fuck off and try your hand in Mexico or Japan or the Indies? We know you would a few years later, and you made good money.
Yeah, not at the time.
Is it just because of the national TV exposure, the guaranteed money as opposed to possible money?
No, it was the fact that I wanted to work at home.
I gotcha. It's the fact that you get to drive back to your house after a taping.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's a big win. Might sound weird, but hear me out on this. Did you ever consider just giving Vince a call after this whole contract situation to see if he could work something out?
Should have.
Do you think that he would have brought you back in?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't. Like, why would he let a huge asset like you go to the competition?
Yeah.
Man, it's I can see why you're frustrated on the way here. But once we get here, Jake, it's a pretty special night. You make your WCW debut in Baltimore on August 2nd, 1992 for a taping that won't air until the 8th. It's a moment fans absolutely love to this day. And I've heard a lot of people say it's among the greatest wrestling debuts they've ever seen. I have to agree, man. Let's watch the clip and talk about it.
Wait a minute. What's going on? There's some commotion. Who's that coming through the... That's Jake Roberts. What is Jake Roberts doing here? Jake the Snake Roberts slithering into the ring. Attacking Sting! And now he's got the chair! Jake Roberts doesn't even wrestle! Jake Roberts coming out of nowhere. He's manhandled the referees. Slapping Sting in the face. The DDT around the chair. The Stinger's got to be out of it right here. Not another one. Not another one. At all. Another DDT. Chair. Oh man. My God, I don't even. He's got that glove, that snake handler's glove. And that. What's going on here? Oh no. Oh no. Sting is out of it. The referees have been. The locker room is finally empty, but. Jake the Snake! Oh! The Steiners and Ron Simmons there! There's Barry Windham! Sting is hurt badly at the hands of Jake the Snake Roberts! He's got some huge reptile there!
Dude, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a debut. And
fuck,
I mean,
I was hot.
In that leather jacket with like leather pants, those things are not breathing. You have got to be
in need of some cheese.
In need of some Manscaped. Are they still a sponsor? They are. Jake, this is years before Scott Hall came down through the crowd and kicked off that NWO storyline on Nitro, and that's like kind of the one that people always point to. But like some realism here, you know, that this feels like somebody from the WWF invading and all the locker room clears to kind of chase you off. What did you think of it watching it back all these years later?
It was great, man.
Just really well done. You know, Bill Watts was fucking up a lot of stuff in this era as far as like the over the top rope rule, and he was removing the pads at ringside and stuff like that. Just kind of like old school 70s wrestling mentality. But this was nice.
Yeah.
Andrew Hermes, a guy who helps on some of the other shows with research, pointed out that you came to the ring this night with what was clearly a python, but you'd soon go back to carrying the cobra. Do you remember why that change was made? I think I know.
I don't know.
I was going to guess because the cobra's a lot lighter to carry around.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you were like, hey, that's enough of that.
Let's go back to fucking cobra, man.
I mean, after coming through the crowd wearing that leather jacket, it's probably sweating your ass off. Yeah, I don't blame you. Let's lighten the load. So coming in the door, I have to imagine that you're pissed and incredibly frustrated this whole time. But you know, when that red light is on, Jake, you're right back to being that ice cold character we all came to know so well in the WWF.
Yeah.
How do you get past the frustrations to deliver such a convincing performance here in WCW?
It's the same old story, man. When the light goes on, everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the frustrations go out the window. You get to do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the one thing you look forward to every day is doing your thing. That's the best time of the day when you're in the ring doing your thing.
I have to believe that during those 4 months off, it's like, you know, were you watching wrestling while you were away?
Oh, yeah.
So watching wrestling, it's like you got to be starting to feel like itchy. You're like, I can't.
Oh, yeah. I was going nuts.
Man, it was cool. What a hell of a moment. Jim Duggan has said before that when he got to the WCW about 2 years after this, there's a little tension in the locker room. He was a wrestling veteran like yourself, and he felt like some of the guys there were threatened by his presence. Walking in the door, did you get that same impression?
Yeah, big time.
Really?
Big time. Yep, they left me alone.
So, like, you walk in the door, it's like, you know, these guys aren't coming up shaking your hand. Nope. And, wow.
Nope.
Okay, so it's just like stares across the locker room. And you're keeping to yourself.
Yep. Really sucked.
It sounds like it sucked. So there were a couple guys there that you knew and had relationships with. You know, your former ashtray destroying roommate Nikita Koloff was there.
Yeah.
And your buddy DDP was there, of course.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like your friend group when you arrive?
Just DDP.
Okay. So he's the only one you're really hanging around.
Yep.
Is that just at first, or did it last for the entire whatever?
Lasted the entire time. Well, I'd buddy up with Cactus.
Okay. You guys had a lot of on-screen chemistry in this era. Yeah. We're going to wind up doing a Halloween Havoc episode at some point, maybe this year, possibly next year. But like the build-up to it, you and Cactus are working together a lot, and it's like cool chemistry, and it kind of almost felt like eventually you guys might have an issue with each other as well.
Oh, we'd have to.
Right. Man, at this era, he was doing that crazy nesty plunge off of the apron.
Yeah.
He'd been thrown off like that big flat stage onto concrete and did like essentially a flat back bump from like 4 feet. So I know that you're not taking those bumps if you're working with Cactus. Would you have felt comfortable if he said, "Hey, throw me off this"? Would you have been like, "Yeah, sure"?
You're fucking right, I would. And I'd give him a good boost.
You can launch him a little bit.
Yeah.
My goodness. That dude just put himself through the ringer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sting here for a bit. This would have been the first time that you had ever crossed paths with him, right?
Yeah.
By the time he had risen to fame, you're in the WWF and keeping busy making towns and building your career. So I'm wondering, did you even have much of an opportunity to see any of his work at this point?
Nope.
So, like, you're coming in here, you know that he's the guy, but you are unfamiliar with his work, everything.
Yeah.
Did you talk to him before you went out there? Is your first time kind of meeting him in the ring?
Just met him in the ring.
Are you communicating with him in the ring or just kind of leading him?
Just leading him.
Okay. Well, what are your early impressions here of him as a person and performer?
Oh, he's fine, man. Nice guy.
What about his ring work? What did you think?
He had his shtick down.
Sort of like Hogan. He had his stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Right? But did it really well.
He knew how to do it, knew when to do it. He did it really well.
Are you optimistic coming in the door that you and Sting can make a really strong program out of this thing?
Sure I was.
Yeah.
And then it winds up being a one-off.
Yeah.
Makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. Especially with, like, it was such a fast build where it's like you come in the door and then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to watch a promo here in a little bit where it's like you're calling for a contract and they're like, okay, you got a contract. Boom. There's a contract. You immediately go into filming these little mini movies that we're going to eventually watch here. It all just happened really fast, and which is not kind of really the tradition for wrestling at that time. This was the era of, like, you know, 4 to 6 month storylines, was it not?
Yeah, it was, man. This is different. It was on speed.
Like, do you think that Bill Watts had, like, you know, because look, for all of his faults, he had booked some really good, compelling stuff while he was in Mid-South. And now here he is, and he just can't seem to get out of his own way with some of this shit. Like, what do you think? He just, like, lost his touch?
In Mid-South, he had other people booking it.
Okay. Like Ernie Ladd and them?
Yeah. Ernie and different guys that were helping. I was a helper.
That's right. Yes.
And I booked with Ernie. So we'd come up with the ideas, and Bill would just go with it.
Gotcha. So at this point, he doesn't have Ernie Ladd anymore. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess he's not asking you for advice.
Nope.
So he was on his own.
Yeah.
Well,
him and Dusty.
It showed, and he ended up, of course, pushing his son, Eric Watts. You and I talked about Eric here a little bit, and you said that you had no problem with him, but, like, were you seeing the frustration backstage when Watts is pushing his own kid?
Sure.
Just really hard to imagine anybody being that, like, tone deaf where they're just like, yeah, no, it's, you know, he earned it. You know, he's a former quarterback or whatever. He should be a star here. Well, this night in WCW is also very well known for another reason. After you injured Sting and prevented him from a title shot against Vader, Ron Simmons would win a raffle to take on Vader and would win the WCW world title, becoming the first African-American world champion. So, I mean, just an awesome historic moment here, Jake. What did you think of Ron Simmons getting this huge opportunity on such a big stage?
I thought it was great, man. It was high time. He certainly well deserved it. You couldn't ask for a better guy to put in that spot.
Yes, I mean, a great, legitimate athlete. You know, the clip that night of him slamming Vader, you know, Vader is whatever. He's pushing 400, more than 400.
Yeah.
And Ron just picks him up like he's a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a freak athlete.
He was a solid 450.
Yep. And Ron, no problem. Hoists him right up, turns him over. And yeah, just an incredible athlete. Ron, you know, I've heard JR say that Ron, his biggest downfall at this point was inexperience. And that kind of hampered him. Were you confident that he would have success after this win?
I knew he'd have success, but I didn't know how much success he was going to have.
Okay.
You know, because it's all about who they put you with, you know, it really is. And I don't remember who they wound up putting him with.
I know that I believe he continued to work with Vader.
Well, that's not good.
No, and he would work with Lex Luger. So maybe he needed somebody with a little bit more experience.
Yeah, you know, whether it be Arn or myself or whoever, but he would have grown more.
Well, Jake, 1 week after the events in Baltimore, you joined Jim Ross on the Ross Report to discuss your actions. Let's take a look at this.
Welcome back to TBS, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with Jake the Snake Roberts, and 7 days ago in the Baltimore arena, you returned to assault Sting. And I know, let's just cut right to the chase. You and I have known each other a long, long time. Why did you do it?
Well, you don't know me that well, but I will say this. Why did I do it? Why not? Why not? If you want to get someone's attention, do I go out and slap the ring boy that takes the jackets back? Do I slap the referee? No. I step right up to the big gun, the one that the WCW has idolized, and jerk a knot in him. That's what you do. If you want to get somebody's attention, go to the front of the line, man. Slap the guy up front. And Sting, you were the guy up front.
Yesterday on WCW Saturday Night, Cowboy Bill Watts seemed perhaps a little perplexed because you officially do not wrestle for WCW, but they're investigating this whole situation. Charges could be filed.
Well, I'm sure that's what Sting's thinking about right now. That would be the smart thing for you to do, Sting. Have me charged with assault. Let the police arrest me. Don't you take it on your own to think you're man enough for one moment to step up and take care of this business. Now, if WCW wants to do something about this, they can charge me with assault. Or you can get out that paper and put the right number down. And I can sign that paper. But Sting, here's what I'm telling you, the smart thing for you to do, and all I'm asking from you is this one thing. Quit. Quit while the quitting's good, because if you step up in front of me, man, I'm not afraid to pull that trigger. I'm not afraid to kick that box out from under you, man. That's exactly what I'll do.
Fans, we're just about out of time here, but we'll be speaking more with Jake the Snake Roberts tonight at 9 o'clock on AM 750 WSB, and we'll be taking some calls from, I'm sure, some Sting fans tonight.
What's left of them. And Sting, don't make the mistake of stepping in front of me, because I will pull that trigger.
Fans, the main event continues here on TBS right after this timeout.
That was fucking great, dude.
Oh, Jim looking pretty young there.
He is looking pretty young.
Get that young boy look on his ass.
So Jim Ross, man, it's you had spent your time around him in Mid-South, and you know, probably the best thing that ever happened to him was Bill Watts getting fired and him getting demoted, because that put him in the WWF and launched his career. Yeah. I mean, early on, had you been around anybody who was better than Jim Ross? Gordon Soley, maybe?
Gordon Soley, of course, but Jim Ross was... He was getting to the top of his chosen profession. He wasn't quite there yet, but he was getting there.
Man, incredible to see what he would go on to do in wrestling, you know, with the WWF. And now, I mean, you know, today he's back with AEW.
Yeah.
It's, you know, rumor has it that maybe his contract may be coming to an end with AEW. I hope that they renew him, man. I think he brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Man, a guy with that enthusiasm for wrestling, that kind of knowledge, to me, irreplaceable.
Yeah, absolutely.
When most of the people think about this run, they think about Sting, but you got to work with some other great young talents. Jake, do you happen to remember who your first match in WCW was with?
I think it was with Dustin Rhodes.
It was with Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell.
Yep, he was just Marcus Bagwell at this point. August 8th in Chicago, you'd get a win over him. Man, he's only 22 years old here. What did you think of the young Marcus Bagwell at this time?
Oh, I can't remember. I'll be honest with you. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that you've got a relationship with him nowadays, and yeah. You know, he's fighting some of the demons that you had fought there years yep. back. Do you have an update for us on Buff? How's he doing?
He's doing pretty well, man. He's hanging and banging, and he's staying clean, staying sober, and he's taking care of some court stuff, mm-hmm. you know, some of the stuff that helped get you there. You know, when you're a bad boy, you got to suffer the consequences, and he's taking care of those consequences now. He's not bitching about it. He's just doing it.
I think one of the biggest steps is taking responsibility for your actions and yeah. realizing that you were wrong and making a commitment to fix it. And it sounds like that's the stage that Buff is at right now, right?
Yeah, it sure is. And he's doing it, man.
I'm happy to hear it. Prayers up for Buff. I hope to continue to see his ascension past his issues. So your next match is 5 days later, and it's against another great performer. We talked about him a little bit earlier. You would defeat Brian Pillman in Sarasota. This is just a few years before he became the Loose Cannon, but by this time he was establishing himself as a star babyface. Not sure we'll get to discuss Brian very often here on the show. What did you think of him, and what did you think of his work?
His work was solid, man. It was real solid. Mm-hmm. Had a good time with me. I think we had a pretty fun match, if I remember correctly.
It got good reviews from what I'm seeing. Where well,
we must have had a good time then.
I think you guys put on a hell of a show. And what about as a person? I know that you were, you know, at this time kind of in the party scene. Rumor has it that he was too.
Yeah, I remember running into him a couple of times.
All right, Jake, let's do a couple fan questions and we'll get out of here. Instagram, a wrestling historian asks, who did you want to wrestle the most in WCW that you didn't get to? Thanks in advance. Anybody stick out?
Oh, sure. Barry Windham.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine renewing that rivalry?
Yeah, it would have been great.
Boy, that would have been fantastic. You know, another one, a kind of underrated option here is Ricky Steamboat was there at this time as a babyface.
Yeah.
Man, could have been a real blast. Rick Rude, you guys could have done that.
Yeah.
So, man, there were a lot of options. Bart Teller asks, did you interact with Paul Heyman at all during your time in WCW? What did you think of Paul overall?
Just a little bit. I liked Paul in the beginning. You know, we got along great.
You said in the beginning, you and I are going to be doing an ECW episode here in November. Do we have more Paul Heyman stories on the way?
Well, I'm sure we do.
Okay, we'll leave it at a cliffhanger there. Yeah. So that'll do it for this week, Jake. Next week, when we do our next podcast, it's going to be 35 years to the day since SummerSlam 1988 and your match with Hercules right in the middle of your red-hot feud with Rick Rude. So we'll look back at that time and talk about all the circumstances surrounding it and everything in between.
That's great, man. See you guys next week.
Guys, if you're looking to get your product or service in front of that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic, you've got to get over to AdvertiseWithSnake.com. Jake is a superstar, a Hall of Famer. He's still on TV with AEW, and you can get him to put over your stuff to the exact audience you're targeting. If you need evidence that it works, just listen to our show. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they know that what we do works. Head to AdvertiseWithSnake.com and make Jake Roberts your tag team partner today. JakeTheSnakeShop.com is your destination for rare signed collectibles straight from Jake himself. Autographed figures, shirts, 8x10s, and much more. If you're a collector, this website is like heaven. Go right now to JakeTheSnakeShop.com and add a brand new centerpiece to your wrestling collection straight from the Hall of Famer himself. Get over to Cameo.com/JakeSnake for a personal message from Jake. Here's an anonymous reviewer. Absolutely perfect. Jake took my minimal but kind of specific directions and made something amazing, funny, and emotional. Everything I could hope for. If you're a lifelong fan, you've got to get a cameo from Jake. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Order yours today. If you're looking for stylish, vintage-style merch, we've got you covered over at boxofgimmicks.com. If you're a wrestling fan from the 80s and 90s like I am, you probably miss a lot of the incredible looking merch of the era, right? Well, you're going to love the throwback style we have, and it's a great way to support our show. Again, that's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Guys, you've got to check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips from our show, highlights, and some exclusive content. Also, we do giveaways over there, and the only way to be eligible is simply to subscribe over there at youtube.com/@snakepitpod. I'm doing one right now on my podcast with Ted DiBiase, and we're going to be doing one again shortly here with Jake. So get over there, subscribe. It's free, and it's worth it because you get all those incredible clips along with it. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms because that helps us out a bunch. Also, just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all of our other shows in our network early and ad-free over at adfreeshows.com, starting at just $9. That's less than 15 cents an episode each month. Plus, tons of bonus content, interactive chats with your favorite hosts and wrestling personalities, and much more. Head over to adfreeshows.com today and get signed up. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. Follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on Twitter, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Fun episode today. We'll catch you guys next time right here on The Snake Pit.